I love this church. Are you kidding me? This is where I'd be going if I lived around here for sure. I want to say thank you. Maybe see it. I want to say thank you to your pastors. Some of the most kindest. I mean this. Of course, on stage, you have to be kind, right? But behind the scenes, most kindest and generous, funny, fun people that Leanne and I know. And we are praying for you, Pastor Apostle. Come on, can we give our pastors a great hand here in this room? Christian Chicken. Are you like me and every Sunday you crave Chick-fil-A? I'm excited to hear that after church today, you can meet everybody at Chick-fil-A for a free combo meal today, right after church. Just meet us up there at Chick-fil-A. Leanne and I have three amazing, beautiful daughters, and we used to travel a lot when they were younger, and we'd be on the road, maybe going to Disney World, or I spoke a lot of places, and we homeschooled our girls, so they got to go with us and share the benefits of that. Maybe going to Georgia, where I'm from, but we spent a lot of time on the road, and we would stop at Chick-fil-A. And they would get their combo meal, and it would come with French fries. And they knew the first thing that they were to do when we pulled away from that drive-thru, they got to give Daddy a French fry. I don't know if I was trying to teach them a lesson as much as I was just extra hungry. But they were so quick to trust me with their French fry. Number one, they knew that I loved them, and they knew that I would never let them go hungry. They knew the only reason they had a French fry was because of me. And they knew that I had the ability of getting them thousands of more French fries. And you know, here's the deal. I really didn't need their French fry. I didn't even care about having their French fry. I had plenty of mine, my own. I was teaching them generosity. And how the Father works and how the Father wants us to come when he asks us for a French fry. What our response should be and why. Should always be yes. Yes, Lord. Now what's the question? Because if he's Lord, the question is irrelevant. It's yes. But here's why. We know the Father loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave a little more than a French fry. We know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to let us go hungry. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. The psalmist David said, I was young, now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging for bread. He'll never let us go hungry. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air and how the Father takes care of them. He'll take care of you too. And you know, he wants us to understand that the only reason we have French fries is because of him. Deuteronomy 8:18 said it's the Lord who gives power to get wealth. And to know that he has the ability to get us thousands of more of French fries if we'll just trust him. See, it's his nature that when we trust him, it just makes him happy. Just like a parent. It just does something for us when our kids trust us. Right? So the Father doesn't need our French fries. Doesn't even want our French fries. He doesn't need our money. Doesn't even care about really having our money. He's got plenty. He's never, you know. One thing God has never said is, you know, OMG, you know. He's never scratched his head trying to figure it out. He's not up in heaven trying to repave the streets of gold, refinance the mansions. He doesn't need our French fry.
He wants our heart. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. In all due respect, we can all in here say we have a good heart. God says, show me your bank register. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You got to understand God is for you. You got to understand he's never trying to get something from you, but he's always trying to get something to you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. You're the apple of his eye. He thought you were to die for, so he did. He wants more for us than he does from us. We must always understand the cross is an addition sign, not a subtraction sign. The things of God will always add to our life. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's for us this morning. And 3 John 2 said that above all things, I would that you prosper. Now, I know that word prosper and prosperity has been misused and abused, and some well-meaning and not so well-meaning preachers have used it for self-gain. If you turn on the TV late at night, you can see a televangelist promising that God's going to prosper you. But just because some people have, you know, it's kind of like crooked car salesmen. You're still going to buy a car. The message hasn't changed. Just because some people have used it wrong. 3 John 2 says, above all things, this is your Father. He's a good God. Above all things, I would you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. Jeremiah 29:11, the ultimate youth group verse, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. That's the kind of God you serve. He said, I don't just have the plans. I know the plans. They're to prosper you. But you know, God is not the builder of your life. Did you know that? Ephesians 2 says God is the master architect of our life. We choose to build our life. We can do it in Matthew 7. We can do it like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Or we can choose to be foolish and build it on the sand. But we get to build our house. We get to build our life. But God says, if you will build your life according to these plans that I've drawn for you, you're going to prosper. Here's the deal. No builder or contractor in his right mind would take a set of plans and say, you know, I think I'm going to do it my way. He can do it his way, but he's going to get his results. If he builds it according to the plans. See, a lot of times we want to do it our way and then blame the pastor and the church while we're in the situation we're in. All those hypocrites up there. All the preacher wants is my money. I tell our church, we don't just want your money. We want you to serve. We want you to give. We want you to invite people. But if we'll build our life according to the plans. So what are the plans? If they're to prosper us and to give us hope in the future, we need to lean into what his plans are. Are you with me? He outlines his plan in Malachi chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, by the way. Isaiah 58 is the fasting chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. And Malachi 3 is the tithing chapter. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does the Father want to give you some french fries? He wants to bless you today. Now, before we go any further, you know, I mean, this is another, you know, message on money. First of all, it's not. It's a message on trust, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's say it was. You know, there are 2,450 scriptures in the Bible about money, possessions, wealth, stewardship, sowing and reaping? Do you know Jesus taught more about money than he did heaven and hell combined? See, when you understand that one out of every six verses in the New Testament, if you just put them all together, one out of every six verses throughout the New Testament is dealing with stewardship, wealth, money management, giving, generosity, sowing, and reaping. So really, if your pastor came in and once every 6 weeks preached on giving and money, he would be in line with the scriptures. The place might be empty, but he would be in line. Malachi chapter 3 outlines the plans. First of all, he says in verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, what he's saying is, what I'm about to tell you doesn't change. It doesn't change in time, Old Testament, New Testament, law, grace. It doesn't change in circumstance. You know, well, I don't have money today, or I'm broke, or I'm in a situation. No, he said, what I'm about to tell you works for everybody. I, the Lord, do not change. And then he goes down to verse 8. He says, you're robbing me. Now, I used to think, well, I don't want to rob God. I mean, you know, then hurt heaven. He's saying, you're not robbing me like you're hurting me. You're robbing me from being able to impact your life like I want to, because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. God only comes in. You only become a candidate for the blessings of God when you trust him. And so we rob God. Now, he didn't say you rob 7-Eleven. He said you're robbing me. If God is calling me a thief and I'm stealing from heaven, how many know I'm going to probably want to lean in here? And he said, how are we robbing you, Lord? He said, in your tithes and offerings. And then he said, because of that, you're under a curse. I have good news. You just got to hold on first. Well, Pastor, let me enlighten you for a second. The curse was broken when Jesus died on the cross. The curse of sin, absolutely. We're in a new covenant now, grace. However, there's still consequences for disobedience. And he doesn't curse us, but we put, it doesn't say he curses. It says we're under a curse. We put ourselves under that when we willfully, knowingly disobey. And he asks us just for one French fry. You can have all the rest. You can even have the sandwich. How many feel the Lord right now? You just feel. I wonder if I did that. What if I did that? Let him use you, Lord. I don't know if I did that for the illustration or I'm just hungry. This is what he said. He said, there's consequences, but the good news is this. I'm about to give you the plans to prosper you. Verse 10, he said, bring. Don't miss this now. He didn't say get manipulated by a preacher. He didn't say wait and see if the temperature's right in the room. Did the worship team sing my song? Did a video stir me? He said, I want you to make up your mind when you get paid that I'm faithful. Because I'm not giving and I'm not tithing to a church. I'm tithing through a church. My first belongs to him. He said, I want you to bring it. I want you to wait. The first thing I do whenever I get paid is I jump either online or I'm old-fashioned. The pool guy, the yard guy, and God gets a check from me because I want to save the church money. But the first thing I do is either write the check or give the online payment, because I don't give my tithes. That insinuates I did something. I pay my tithes because that's the debt that I owe. I give offerings. I pay tithes. So, I bring it. And then he said, I want you to bring all the tithe. I used to think all, what do you mean all? Well, it's either the tithe or it's not. And what he was saying, he said, I want to make it very simple for you. All of the tithe goes to my house. The tithe. And we'll get to what the tithe is in a second. But all the tithe goes to the storehouse. Well, how do you know the storehouse? He means God. How? Because the very next line. So there's meat in my house. See, I don't want you to give a 2 or 3% to help grandma with her light bill. I don't want you to pay 2 or 3% to Jerry's kids. I don't want you to give 2 or 3% to the building fund and then give the storehouse, the house of God, 2 or 3%. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give to help Mama with her light bill with your money. I want you to give to the special nonprofit organization that touches your heart with your money. I want you to give to build a new sanctuary, but not with the tithe. I want you to do it with your money. Now, I told my church, if I just wanted your money, I would just preach on giving and sowing and reaping and preach real loud and real fast and get the organ playing. And man, I'd get you an offering. But man, God rewards obedience. He said, I'm just asking for one French fry. He said, bring all the tithe. Now, tithe is not 10%. Lean in. Do I have your attention now? Tithing is not 10%. Tithing is the first 10%. There's a big difference, because the number one reason a Christian will say they don't tithe, they can't combat it with the word. They'll say, because I can't afford it. I can't afford to tithe. Well, I've been doing this a long time, y'all. I'm 51 years old. When I was 16 years old, I started bagging groceries at Winn-Dixie in Snellville, Georgia for $3. Oh, y'all don't know. $3.25 an hour. And I was tithing. I was tithing, living like the devil in college waiting tables. Come on, somebody. Because I understood the principle and the power of putting God first. So I can't afford not to. But let's go with that for a second. Let's say, would you come up here and help me really quick? Just, if you will, just ask me for a French fry.
May I have a fry?
Well, let me get back to you for a second. Stay right there. I need to pay my rent. I wouldn't eat them. They're stale from last night. I need to pay my light bill. I need to pay GMC for my truck payment. You know, my kids go to private school. Man, I got to hunt. You look like a hunter. I got to fish. Y'all going to say, Pastor, don't ever have that nut back. I got to go shopping. I got to buy the kids an outfit. I got to pay my phone bill. It's the Lord's will to be on Instagram. Got to buy groceries. I won't throw any more at you. I'm already getting some death looks. Ask me again.
May I have a fry?
I can't afford it. I can't afford it. The reason we can't afford it is because we do everything else first. Listen now. But if we would give him our first, then all these other things, Matthew 6:33, will be added unto us as well. You see, when I give God my first, he takes care of the rest. But Pastor, you're saying God wants 10% of my money. Oh, no. He wants 10% of his money. It's all his.
Well, I can't afford to tithe. Tithing is so fun. Tithing is like giving away your sister's sweater. It's fun to do it, and it never was yours anyway. You're playing with house money. I can't afford to tithe. Let's think about that for a second. You can't afford to give the God of the universe 10%. Then, in all due respect, please don't get mad at me over this. In all due respect, you need to listen to my teaching because you need it. If you don't have 10% margin for the God who controls your next breath, I mean, our margins are off. I promise you this, if you'll trust God with your French fry, he's got more French fries. The plans of God for your life are to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. He said, bring it all in so there's meat in my house. See, here's the deal. God doesn't want to bless your house only. He also wants to bless his house. You know why souls get saved in this church? Because there's meat in God's house. Do you know why there's anointed preaching and anointed worship like we just experienced? Because there's meat in this house. There's meat in our children's ministry, our student ministry, and outreaches, and how we're able to go out locally and globally. In this church, I know what this church does. And to do everything they do, only, you know why? Because there's people in this house that have trusted God with their French fry. And therefore, he multiplies it and doesn't just bless his house. And there's not just meat in his house, but there's also meat in your house. I'm going to prove that to you in a second. So he said, I want there to be meat in my house. He said, test me in this. Only place in the Bible you can find that God gives you permission to test them. Everywhere in the Bible, we're not to put God to the test. But when it comes to his plans to prosper you, he loves you so much. He said, if you think it's a gimmick, if you think it's just some, try it. Test me in this. And can I dare to say to you that everyone in this room can afford it? We don't know my situation. I get it. So you have a situation, but you can afford it. Because if you make $100, how many know what the tithe would be? Some of you Arkansas, so we'll wait on you. It's 10%. I had a mentor that went hunting with, he's a pastor, and he went hunting with one of his church members, and he was up in Colorado, and they were in the deer stand, and he said, Pastor, do you know what my tithe would be if I actually gave all of my tithe? Now listen, when this conversation took place, this man had already given this pastor 4 times $1 million offerings. He had already given $1 million to the church 4 times. And he said, Pastor, do you know what my tithe would be if I actually gave all of my tithe? My pastor, in his brilliance, said, yep, already did the math. It's the same as the single mom on food stamps. That's the beauty of the tithe. God set something up that everybody can do. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom. So it's not a certain amount you have to hit. It's trusting him with the one French fry. Test me in this. And then he said these words. If you'll put this on the screen, I want everybody to see this. I always thought it said he would open the windows of heaven over our life. That's not what it says. He said, prove me or test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing. Let me tell you why that's important. Because God has people in your life that he wants to bless. You're the windows of heaven.
if he's going to get the gospel out, if he's going to get the message out, if he's going to get salvation out, if he's going to get provision out, if he's going to bless the communities that need it, if he's going to do that, it's not going to be raining money from heaven. It's going to be you are the windows of heaven. And when you sow, then you shall reap. But he gives you open hands, open heaven, open heart, and he opens our community to us and to the kingdom. Now watch this. If I have closed hands during a sermon like this, and a closed mind, and a closed heart, he's about to take an offering. I'm not. Relax. But if I close my hands when it's time to give, close my heart, close my mind, that's okay. You can go out of here and you can say, that preacher didn't get my money. And you can do it. And you feel like you came out ahead. But you're up for promotion Tuesday. You're going to need a miracle on Thursday. And God will answer. But your hands are closed. So it's not that God's not listening. It's you're not open. If you pour water over my hands, if they're closed, water ain't getting in my hand. It goes over my hand, around my hand. It hits others. But I don't get it. You hear what I'm saying today? I'm saying God is for you. And he says he wants to open you and me and pour you and me out so we can bless others. Watch this. And we won't have room enough to contain it. I was praying one day. I was a youth pastor years ago. And I said, Lord, I'm pretty sure I can. You haven't blessed me so much that I can't contain it. I mean, you've blessed me, but I still got room for more, God. And God quickly reminded me, Richie, you got two cars. You can only drive one at a time. I've given you many outfits in that closet. You can only wear one at a time. I have more than one home. I can only live in one at a time. Church, God's been really good to us. God's been good to you, because I dare say you probably have more than one outfit at home. God's been good. And he said, not only will I open you, not only will I put you under an open heaven, not only will I bless the ministry, meet in the house, but then the last thing is this, verse 11, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. That word devour comes from a word in the Hebrew, akal, A-K-A-L. It literally means seed eater. Now, go with me if you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark 4. And if not, for sake of time, you remember the story of the parable Jesus told of the farmer? The farmer, he went out to sow seed. And the first seed, Mark 4:4, this first seed, symbolic of the tithe, he throws it out, but it's devoured. If you read it in Mark 4:4, it's devoured by the pest of the air. If you look up that word pest, it's the same word, a cow, a seed-eating spirit. You ever felt like you gave a big offering and it never even hit the ground? I mean, your car broke down that week. Oh, is that just me? You ever felt like you worked in nursery all three services last week? And it didn't even get to the ground. Can I encourage you with something? It didn't. The only thing that will rebuke the devourer for your sake in this word is not prayer. You can pray till you lose your voice. You can fast till you're wearing skinny jeans. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. And you can give $1 million to the church. I'm sure this church will take it. But the only thing that will rebuke the devourer for your sake is when you give God your French fry. Can you trust him with your French fry? I heard a story Interesting, powerful story about a guy named Charles Blondin. Anybody ever heard of Charles Blondin? He's a tightroper back in the 1800s. And on 1859, Charles Blondin walked across Niagara Falls. You can check this out. True story. He tightroped across the Niagara Falls. Crowd's going crazy. He turns around and he gets a sack. And he gets in a sack. There's pictures of this. And tightropes across the Niagara Falls. I think he did it by bicycle too. But he actually, the next day, he did it in stilts. I am not making this up. He did it in high stilts. And he tightroped across the Niagara Falls. And then July 15th, come up for me. Yeah, y'all too, both of y'all, come up here a second. On July 15th, 1859, stay right there. He's already tightroped. He's already gotten a sack and tightroped again. I mean, across the Niagara Falls on stilts. Then he does it with a blindfold all the way across. Crowd's going nuts. He says, give me a wheelbarrow. They got a wheelbarrow. He said, how many think I can push this wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls? Reporters out there, the crowd's going nuts. Yeah, we believe you can do it. Yeah, we believe you can do it. He looked at a reporter and said, get in it. So get in it. Now, my friend here, Justin, is going to represent God. It's one thing to say you trust God. Come on, God, start pushing the wheelbarrow. It's one thing to say you trust God and to worship and sing and to pray and to do. It's another thing to get in the barrel, honey. When you start tithing unto the Lord, it's more than lip service. I'm in the wheelbarrow now. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You're carrying me. You're providing for me. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You're directing me. Come on. If anybody knows what it's like to be in the wheelbarrow, give God praise right now. I want to end with this thought in Judges chapter 6. Anybody getting anything out of this? I hope you are. This is not about money, y'all. This is about the French fry. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon gets a word from the Lord. An angel comes and says, you're a mighty man of valor. I'm about to use you. And without the angel asking, without an emotional song playing, without a video stirring his heart. I'm big on this right now because I feel like so many times people get emotional. And nothing wrong with emotions. But man, this is something that you can put your hand on. You can bet the ranch on this, that when you give God your French fry, oh, he's more than able to give you many more French fries. You know what Gideon did? Angel didn't even ask for it. Come here, angel. You were God, now you're an angel. Gideon said, hang on. Let me go prepare an offering. Your Bible says in Judges 6, it wasn't just any offering. It was barley bread. Read it. He gets his offering. The angel stays there. He says, wait while I get my offering. He gets his offering together. Didn't even ask for it. But he knew where he was going in his future. He needed to get seed in the ground. He surrenders his offering to the angel. And the angel leaves. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you were in a church? I've been in conferences before. I go, that preacher got my money. I'm just being real. I've been in conferences before where I wreck everything. Checking, savings. Oh! And then I get in the car and I'm like, I can't even afford McDonald's. The offering left his hand, but it didn't leave his life. Stay with me. Judges chapter 7.
Now Gideon's kind of discouraged. He went from a mighty army to 300. He's went through some divine eliminations. And it's the night before he's supposed to fight the Midianites, Judges 7. He's got a spirit of fear, spirit of worry, spirit of doubt. And God said, you need to get up and you need to go down to the enemy's camp. And you need to spy out and see what they're saying about you. He goes down there and he hears somebody, I just had a nightmare. And another guy in the tent asked him, well, what was it? He said, I had a dream that a loaf of barley bread came rolling down the mountain and defeated us and destroyed us. You know what he said? He said, man of valor, that can only be the sword of Gideon. He turned his offering, y'all, this is scripture. He turned his offering into a weapon. You don't know the fights, the struggles that are ahead. You don't know the victories that God wants to give you, but God does. And he said, just give me your French fry and watch what I do. I'll go before you and make crooked paths straight. I am a provider. I'm a healer. I'm a protector. I will be with you and I will put a weapon, a sword, called the word of God in your life, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words remain forever. I've lived this. Come on, just stand on your feet for me for a second. I've lived this. This might come to music. A few years ago, we were trying to get in our old building, and we had to owner finance it because no bank would help us. We ran out of money fast in the parking lot, just getting the parking lot done. Had $12,000 to our name, true story. Needed $500,000 more to remodel. Not because we were trying to be fancy, but we were just trying to meet codes. I was at a conference, a church conference, and the pastor stood up and he said, we're going to help this young couple, not me. This young couple start a church in Nashville, Tennessee. Who help them? The church is going crazy. Not me. I'm sitting back there about midways back on the left side and having a pouty party. God, where was he when we started our church with a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old? That was our launch team. That's all we had. We got the phone book out and started calling. That's a book with numbers. It really happened. You'd put people's names and numbers in it. That's how we started. And now he's got world-renowned pastor, live day star all over the world, and they're receiving an offering for them. Just being honest with you, I got bitter. Maybe like some of you when you asked for help and church said no, but they helped you help somebody else. And the Holy Spirit said to me, not in an audible voice, but said to me, what would you want people to do if you and Leanne were up there? I said, man, I want people to give, Lord. So I believed the Lord. At the time, I believed it. Now I know it. The Lord told me to give $10,000 of the 12. I'm like, God, that's $10,000. All I got is 12. It was like God said, well, then you have enough. I went outside during that service and called my CFO. And I said, Jody, what we're about to do is either going to sink us or it's going to be great book material one day. I wrote a book about it. We gave our $10,000 of the 12, still needing $500,000. I'm here to build somebody's faith. I don't know what you're believing for. You cannot buy a miracle with money. We do buy miracles with our faith. I sowed, gave the $10,000, went to the church that Sunday morning, and the sanctuary was smaller than this stage. And I went in front of the church and I said, "Church, here's what we did. I don't know how God's going to come through after we gave all of our money away. I know we need $500,000, and I just gave away $10,000. But come back next Sunday and I'll tell you how he did it. I don't even know if I believed it, but there's power in a decree, a declaration." My knees were so, my knees weren't knocking, they were missing. I was so nervous because I'm thinking people are going to start, "You're doing that foolishness with my hard-earned money," you know? You start worrying about that kind of stuff. My father-in-law was sitting on the front row and he said, "Something happened in the spirit when you said, 'Come back next Sunday, I'll tell you how you did it.'" I had no idea. I had no plan B. We had $98,000 in invoices due that week. Nobody knew about it but me and our CFO and Leanne. We needed a miracle. We weren't late, but we were coming due that week. A stranger sitting on the second row stared me down the whole time. You know, when it's a small sanctuary, you're close. You've met. I never met him. I didn't know who he was. And he heard me say that morning. That night he came to our men's event. And he said, "Pastor," he cornered me. And he said, "I own a construction company. And I was driving by. The Lord told me this week that you were at a standstill and you needed some help." I said, "I'm listening." He said, "I feel like that my construction company is supposed to underwrite the whole rest of the project." Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Call me Doubting Thomas. I've heard that before. You know, if I win the lottery, you're first. As the Lord blesses me, you know. He said, "Give me a few weeks to move some things around." Here's what I told him. I said, "Sir, if you're the real deal, I need your money as quick as you can give it." He said, "Okay, let's meet tomorrow morning." So at 11 o'clock at the Olive Garden in Mesquite, Texas, he shows up with a $100,000 cashier check. Watch this now. That's what I needed at the time. Remember, I had the 98,000 invoices. Within 30 days, he gave 100,000 more. Now the people's faith, I'm like, where was your faith before? Now their faith began to grow and they wanted in on it. We didn't just see 500,000 came in. We saw $1 million come in. Because when he does it good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Come on, church. He's not El Shachipo. He's El Shaddai. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. Able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. He's not the God that just meets needs. He's the God that exceeds needs. And if you're in this house right now and you have a need bigger than you, raise your hand. Bigger than you, not bigger than the God in you, but bigger than you. I want you to get down here as fast as you can. Come on, get down here as fast as you can. We're going to sow our way out. We're going to see a miracle, not because we gave money, but because we trusted God with our French fry. And now you're going to live under an open heavens, and there's going to be meat in God's house. And he said he's going to rebuke the devourer. Come on, lift those hands all over this room. Father, in the name of Jesus, we claim healing. We claim favor. Lord, I call sons and daughters home. Grandchildren that have drifted from the Father's house. Family that hasn't talked in years. Restore the years, God. Restore the years the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm have stolen. That's demonic forces, by the way, when he says that. That's demonic influences that have come to attack your life. I declare no weapon formed against you will prosper. The gates of hell will not prevail. Your best days are ahead of you if you can just trust Him with your French fry. Now here's what happens. Look at me a second. I'm almost done. I'm going to pray a final prayer and get out of the way. Here's what happens. We run out of French fries. But you remember He said He would give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you look in the bottom of the bag, isn't it a beautiful sight when you go through the drive-thru and there are more fries in the bag? I want to tell you, there's more in the bag. There's healing in the bag. There's breakthrough in the bag. There's deliverance. Come on, turn to two people and say, it's in the bag. Whatever you're needing in, whatever you're trusting in, God's already got it in the bag. He provides all of our needs. Father, in the name of Jesus, every need supplied. I gotta say this. I'm not one of these guys. I promise you. In fact, I'm the guy. Look at me a second, because I want you to know I'm the guy, I'm ashamed to say, as a youth pastor, I used to sit up and make fun of TBN preachers and Daystar and all that. I mean, you know, you sow $84.17 according to Psalm 84:17. I'm not saying we don't attach our seed with an all. I'm just saying I can't be up here promising you're going to get a Bentley if you give today. That's not what it's about. I can't promise you that God's going to heal your daughter of cancer if you give. I'm not that guy. But I will tell you, I've heard from the Lord, and I asked your pastor and he didn't get back with me. So I don't know. I honestly do not know what the biggest gift this church has ever gotten. But in the next 90 days, expect somebody to step up with a $1 million offering. Somebody's going to step up. And it's going to stretch them. Here's what God showed me late last night when I was in bed, but I was tossing. My wheels were turning. It's going to stretch you. But the next time you give $1 million to this house, it'll be like pocket change. Now listen, if that's not you, chill. Well, I don't have $1 million. Then He must not be talking to you. It's all right. It's all good. But you relate it to where you're at. I'm telling you, Leanne and I, we're pastors, y'all. And we're not millionaire pastors. We're just preachers. We sowed and gave over $100,000 to build the church. I'm talking about personal money. And now we're about to give $112,000 to the building that we're building now. Actually, the foundation is getting poured next week. 1,000-seat auditorium. It's going to be beautiful. We're believing for $5 million in cash. We don't have a bank. No banks. And God's going to do it. But I'm telling you, if you will, I got 34 seconds. If you will step out, I'm not taking an offering, but I think there's one coming in a few weeks. If you will step out, you will find out. Peter never knew he could walk on water until he stepped out of that boat. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys, never knew that God was a God that could take care of them through the fiery furnace until they stepped into that fiery furnace. I want to challenge everyone in the sound of my voice and those watching online to get into a place of sacrifice where I've given my French fry, but I think I might give 3 or 4 or 5 French fries this time. And as you sow, that you shall reap. So if I, Bishop Garlington, I don't know if y'all know who Bishop Garlington is. He says if you want mo seed, you got to sow mo seed. So lift your hands all over this house. I've already went too long. God, open heavens. Put us, word of truth, in Arlington, Texas. Apostles, Eben and Sharice, and the elders and the board and the staff and all the leadership and the congregation that will trust you with their French fry. Put us in an open heaven. Pour out your spirit and prosper us in every way imaginable. In Jesus' name, God bless you.